you would flow. You would speak to the saints this morning. Thank you for your word. Lord, we pray you would build us up today. Build your church more today. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, this week we are on Genesis 1:26 through 28. And next week we will be on 1:26 through 31. Maybe it seems we're redundant a little bit, but this week we want to cover the matter of image related to God's creation of man in his image. And next week we want to touch the matter of dominion. So we will focus on different things for these same set of verses. Basically, the same set of verses. So this morning, I just want to cover what I've enjoyed from this a little bit, and then we hope that you all can share what you've enjoyed from this portion this week. And by all of our speaking, we could receive something living and fresh from the Lord himself. Last week we covered the verses 3 through 26, which are, as we know, not a detailed record of God's creation, but rather God's burden in the first chapter of the book of the Bible, first chapter of Genesis, to show us that this is a book of life. And his burden is that we would not only receive life, but we would grow in life. So you have a very particular picture there of the growth in life in Genesis chapter 1. Now we come to 26 through 28, which again continues this burden. Life is for expression. Every life has an expression and expresses that life. And so the life of God has a very particular expression. And we hope that we could see this in some of the verses that we've read this morning. God created us in his image. That is for his expression. And he's given us dominion. That is for his representation, to represent him. And that we want to cover more next week. So this week I want to cover more on the side of God's image for his expression. So there, really, I just want to touch three things. One is to somewhat define this matter of image. How can we express God? And try to make it a little practical. Second is to realize that Christ is the image of God. And because we fell, God himself became a man and put on flesh and blood so that he could be the proper pattern of a human life that expresses God, a person who expresses God in his human living. And then thirdly, to see something related to God's complete salvation and how in our experience of God's salvation, we are growing to be, and to be not just regenerated, but transformed, conformed to the image. Eventually, even our bodies will be glorified at the transfiguration. So these three things I'd like to cover. Now, first of all, I want to touch what we had on Monday on those verses in 1 John 4, 1 John 1, 5, and Revelation 4 and Jeremiah. When God created man according to his image and likeness, I don't know if you have considered the distinction between these words. They're very, very similar. Image is related to something inward. And after God created the animal life, he needed something higher, so he created man in his image and according to his likeness. Now, to accomplish that work, you see in Genesis 1:26 in the beginning, it says, "Let us make man." The triune God is involved to accomplish this work of creating man. Now, God's image, referring to God's inner being, is the expression of his attributes. God has divine attributes. And the most prominent of those attributes are these four things: love, light, holiness, and righteousness. And we had these four verses this week on Monday, right? God is love. That's 1 John 4, verse 8, right? And then God is light. That's 1 John 1, verse 5. And then in Revelation, he is the one holy, 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 right? He is the Holy One in Revelation. And in Jeremiah, his name is Jehovah, our righteousness. So, we're created in God's image. And God's to be God's expression. And he wants to be expressed particularly in these four, or mainly in these prominent four attributes of God: love, light, holiness, and righteousness. Now, When He created us, He created our spirit, right? He created man's spirit with copies of these divine attributes. They are the means for man to express God. So, we have human virtues of love. We have human virtues of light and of holiness and of righteousness. Even before we get saved, we have this kind of feeling when we do something wrong, it's not right, we feel bad about it. Brother Lee uses this example. Someone, you know, even an unbeliever goes to the market and gives the, you know, buys something for $6 or so and gives them a $10 bill, gets $14 back. Even an unbeliever realizes this is not right. Now, I don't know whether they would return it or not, but anyway, it's not righteous because you have human virtues within. But these human virtues are meant as containers, as vessels, as copies, to be filled with the divine attributes of God so that God can be expressed as love to others. That we could allow God to flow through us in our human living to be light to others. I don't know if any of you have had this kind of experience, but many of us on our jobs, we have this experience. We have a good testimony there. We love the Lord, and people know we love the Lord. And I heard from a brother this week that even when someone takes the Lord's name in vain, if he's in the room, they stop themselves and say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that when he's in the room. What is that? That is, there's light. There's light. When we're enjoying the Lord and we're filled with Him, light can be expressed. And also holiness and righteousness. Maybe we'll get into more of these a little bit later. But this first point I enjoyed very much. Praise the Lord, we're created with a spirit. Amen. And we'll get into these in a few more weeks when we get into chapter 2, the details of God's creation of man. But this is a very precious thing. You know, we all know Genesis 1:26. We know God's purpose is image and dominion. And I was afraid this week, Lord, I don't want to take this for granted and take this lightly and miss something fresh from you related to our being created in your image and according to your likeness. Because it's very familiar to us. But this point touched me this week, especially early in the week, that this matter of image is related to something inward. Now, God also has an outward form, right? He put on the form of man in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. He existed in the form of God, but he did not, right, consider that being equal with God a thing to be grasped. And the next few verses talk about, right, he emptied himself and humbled himself. He put on flesh and blood. That is the outward form. And so he made us also, not just with a spirit, but with a body, right, which also corresponds to this. When God appears in the Bible, in the flesh, He appears in the flesh. When you can see Him, He appears with an outward body, a human body. So this is related to the attributes of God, the inward image of God, and the likeness of God in an outward form. So by this, we can see we were created by God to be one with Him, to receive Him as life, and to be actually His duplication, His continuation. That is related to His economy. So, now, let's come to this second point. Christ is the image of the invisible God. This is Colossians 1, verse 15. And also in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, you see that He is the effulgence of the glory of God. He is the image of God, the expression of God. Now, Christ as the Son, as God's embodiment, is the image of the invisible God, the expression of the essence of God's attributes of love, light, holiness, and righteousness. And you can see this in the Gospels when you read about the Lord's being on the earth. You can see these attributes, and I want to touch a few verses in a minute. Man was created according to Christ, with the intention that Christ would enter into us and be expressed through us. And for that, we have these two precious verses, Colossians 1:27. In whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Of course, we know glory is God expressed. We have Christ living in us so that He can be expressed through us. Praise the Lord for this, that Christ is living in us to be expressed through us. And Paul expressed this also in Philippians chapter 1. Even in that difficult situation, in the prison there, in a very difficult environment, his hope and his expectation was that he would not be put to shame, but that Christ would be magnified, right? Would be manifested in his body, whether through life or through death. For to me, to live is Christ. These verses show that today we are here and created in God's image for the purpose of expressing Him, for the purpose of living Him and letting Him live through us. This is really God's intention, this is God's desire, and God's purpose. But what happened, of course, we know in Genesis 3, we fell. And after the fall, we can't receive God's life. We can't be His expression, even though we were created for this. But of course, God in His divine wisdom had a marvelous plan of redemption, and Christ came to be a man Himself. This is the second point. Christ's incarnation and His human living, His God-man living, fulfills God's intention in His creation of man. Sometimes people may say, oh, but God, we failed. How's God going to accomplish His purpose? Well, Christ came to fulfill that purpose in creating man in His image. He's our pattern. He's the firstborn. He is the forerunner. So the Lord was born a human being, just like us, right? With human virtues. And in order to uplift these virtues to match God's attributes. So Christ Himself fills the human virtues with God's divine attributes. And we can see this in the Gospels. I have these verses as a supplement. Luke chapter 2, verse 40 and verse 52. Let's read these two verses together. This is the story when the Lord was 12 years old and came to Jerusalem that first time. And eventually, you know, His parents lost Him and they came back. This is the beginning and the ending of that portion. And the little child grew and became strong, being filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and stature and in the grace manifested in Him before God and men. He was a real man. He was a real 12-year-old. And He went to Jerusalem, and there, of course, you know, He was there in the temple asking questions and answering questions with the Pharisees. And His parents left and forgot Him there. They came back and they somewhat rebuked Him. Where were you? You didn't know where we were. And the Lord, in His humanity, in His precious, perfect humanity, answered His parents in a proper way and became under them and became subject to them. He really was a proper expression of God, even as a teenager, even as a 12-year-old, pre-teenager, however, whatever you want to call that. And then, I like this story in Luke 19. Let's read these verses 9 and 10. This is the story of Zacchaeus in Luke. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save." When the Lord Jesus saves us, when He comes to us, He comes into us as the one with the human virtues, filled with the divine attributes. And you can see that in this story. Zacchaeus was seeking the Lord. He was trying to find the Lord. But the Lord actually went there to find Zacchaeus, right? And His love caused him and motivated him to go and to find this tax collector. This is a real sinner, defrauding God's chosen people, right? Defrauding the people that he was among. Anyway, he found him and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down. Today, salvation has come to your house." And you can see in Zacchaeus' salvation, not only he responded to the Lord's love, but there was light in the Lord's speaking to him. The Lord didn't say, "Hey, you cheated a lot of my people out of money. You need to take care of this." He didn't say that. He just was full of light. And so Zacchaeus, spontaneously, he repented and he wanted to restore all that he had taken and even to pay the interest, even, right, tenfold, and give the remainder to the poor. What is this? We often talk about what a dynamic salvation Zacchaeus experienced. Well, we all have experienced such a dynamic salvation. And the reason is Christ is the image of God. And as a man, his human virtues are filled with the divine attributes. And he is a man expressing God on the earth. And you can see, even as righteousness, Zacchaeus experienced something there that he wanted to make right all of what he did in that experience of salvation. And I think many of us have a testimony like this. When we met the Lord, we didn't realize how bad we were, but when we opened up to Him, the light came. And we realized we need to be saved. We're not that good. We're not so right. We don't love our neighbor. But once we receive the life of God, and the more we're filled with the life of God, spontaneously we love not just one another, but even our enemies. Spontaneously, we want to be separated from this world to live a sanctified life in the church life, and we even have a desire to be righteous with all man and to be have a proper living before mankind. What is this? This is because we are created in the image of God. And our human virtues are containers. They're the vessel to be filled with God's divine attributes that we may express Him. Amen. Then lastly on this point, such a life saves us from within and uplifts our human virtues, sanctifying and transforming us. And I didn't put these verses in the reading, but in Romans 5:10, it says that not only we have been redeemed through Christ's death, but much more we are being saved in His life. Much more we're being saved in His life. And chapter 12, verse 2 of that chapter talks about our being transformed, right, into the Lord's image. Transformed. Not conformed to this age, but transformed by the renewing of the mind. This life is transforming us from within, that we may have a proper life and we may express God in a proper way in our daily life. Amen. Now, I want to come to this last point about God's complete salvation. I've kind of summarized it in these words: image, transformation, confirmation, and transfiguration. These four words. So we know we're created in God's image, right? In Christ's incarnation, He put on human nature, became in the likeness of men, that's Philippians 2, 6 through 8, so that through death and resurrection, we may obtain God's eternal life. And by that life, we would be transformed and conformed to the image of Christ. So the first verse we have is 2 Corinthians 3:18. Let's read that together. But we all, with unveiled face, to the Spirit. This is very experiential. These verses talk about our experience of the Lord. If you start with verse 16, whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In the morning, even every day, when we open to the Lord, turn our heart to the Lord, we contact Him in our spirit. And there we can have an unveiled face to behold Him, to enjoy Him, to be filled with Him. And that beholding is not just for our personal, it is our personal enjoyment, but it's not just for our enjoyment, it's so that something could be reflected, something could be manifested, something could be expressed in our daily life. And that is the purpose of our salvation. We would be transformed. We would be transformed by beholding and reflecting Him. We would be transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. This is very practical. I hope that we could practice this every day. Maybe especially this week as we come to the Lord. We could spend more time with Him to let Him fill us. He is the divine life. He is full of the divine attributes. And He wants to fill our human virtues of love with His love, that we could express His love to others. And that love is unconditional. Not according to our preference, not according to our choosing, but He loves all man, all mankind. You know, I think whenever we come to the gospel, I always get exposed with this. You know, I'm inviting people to the gospel meeting, he's not good for the gospel. That shows I'm not living according to the divine attributes. The divine attributes are that God loves everyone. And we shouldn't put people in different categories. We should love everyone just the same. And then Romans 8:29. I think we have that one also on that list somewhere. Yeah, let's read that one. Because those whom He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Here, not only transformed by beholding Him, but we're being conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. So, what we saw in that second point is Christ is the image of God. He is the one who expresses God. Now, we need to be transformed and conformed into His image. Right? Conformed into His image that He might be the firstborn Son of God. And then, did we put 2 Corinthians 4:7 there? No. Okay. Then I'm going to add this. 2 Corinthians 4, 4-7 talks about the glory of God in the gospel. And verse 7, oh, we do have it. Good. Let's read this, 4-7. In whom the God of this age has blinded the thoughts of the unbelievers. Who is the image of God might not shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. Because the God who said, out of darkness light shall shine, is the one who shined in our hearts to illuminate the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, of the power may be of God. God is light, and He wants to shine out the glory of God in the gospel. But Satan wants to frustrate people from seeing that. He wants to veil them. So we need to pray, right, that the enemy would be bound so that our gospel friends could be saved. But eventually, this Christ, who is the image of God, who is the expression of God, is the treasure in our earthen vessel. So we have the privilege of preaching the gospel. We have the privilege of enjoying this person who is the treasure, of enjoying this person who is the glory of God, who is the image of God shining out. So I hope that day by day we would enjoy Him and we also would share Him with others. We also would bring this treasure to others. We have a marvelous Savior. We have a marvelous Christ. And we should be those enjoying Him and by out of that enjoyment, sharing Him and fellowshipping Him with others. We have Luke 10:33-35. I want to leave you with these last examples. This is the Samaritan, precious story in Luke of the Samaritan, right? Let's read these verses 33, 4, and 5. But a certain Samaritan who was journeying came upon Him, and when he saw Him, he was moved with compassion. And he came to Him and bound up His wounds and poured oil and wine on them. And placing Him on His own beast, He brought Him to an inn and took care of Him. And on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever you spend, in addition to this, when I return,
I will repay.
When I was considering the Lord as an example to us and as a pattern to us to express God in His love and light and His holiness and righteousness, I was reminded of this precious parable of the Good Samaritan. He is the real Good Samaritan, right? And he had compassion. He really had love for this one who was robbed and beaten and left for dead and wasn't helped by anyone else. None of the religious people would take care of him. But he went and he took care of him. He bound him up. He poured in the oil and wine. And he put him on his beast of burden, carried him to the inn to take care of him, and even paid the innkeeper to take care of him. And I feel not only this is, you know, a picture of God's salvation, we need to preach the gospel, but it's also a picture of if we are those enjoying the Lord, and we want to be those who are expressing God, expressing Him in our human virtues, we need to shepherd these new ones and shepherd one another. And that shepherding comes out of the life of God. That shepherding, that care for one another is something that comes out of the life of God. And we really need to pray and enjoy the Lord, spend more time with Him, that He could be the one shepherding within us and reaching out to all those around us. So these are the little things I enjoyed from this week. And I hope that you would be free and open to fellowship your enjoyment. The announcements are we want you to pick up your morning watch sheets for next week. And then we can have some prayers here and those who can go to their language meetings. And we can have some more sharing from our enjoyment from this week. Amen. Let's have some prayer.